Utah businesses learn about expanding to global markets, dozens of locations open their doors up for early voting, and Salt Lake County begins a curbside glass recycling program. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, October 23rd. I'm Brian Grimmett. Utah businesses interested in expanding their global sales got some help yesterday at an international trade summit in downtown Salt Lake City. The conference gave local business people a chance to meet the state's foreign trade representatives. KUER's Andrea Smartin has more.
It's been years since Utah has been able to bring its foreign trade representatives all together for an international summit like this. Ariel Briggs is a coordinator for the State Trade and Export Promotion Program.
We've seen a lot of good results to our economy as a result of exporting. And so we wanted to provide those benefits to the companies that are maybe not sure yet how to export or if they really want to be there. We want to help them build that confidence by bringing in our trade reps and giving them the expertise that would help them go out and sell.
So Japan, Korea, China, and then we have Guadalupe, Mexico, we have Peru.
Peru, fantastic.
At the registration tables, a man in sneakers, jeans, and a baseball cap stands out from the crowd of suits. Turns out Rich Eggett is president of Rockwell Watches, a Utah company looking to expand its reach internationally.
We've had a lot of people contact us from other countries, even when within the first year of starting, and we just didn't know the correct steps and how to do it, and so we've always put it off. So this is really good for us to have the help and just a direction, kind of like a mentor walking you along how to do it.
Eggett says Rockwell Watches recently participated in a trade mission to Mexico and landed a sale there. They've launched Rockwell Europe, and now they have their eye on Brazil and the Middle East. They're here hoping to make connections with trade reps. Organizers say the trade reps can help guide businesses to find the best markets for their products. Maria Esther Lasso is a state trade representative based in Chile.
The main market between Chile and Utah is mining. Mining equipment, mining technology, and what we really need from Utah is help in the energy production. We're lacking of that. So we're expecting to have a lot of investment in that area.
Conference organizers from the Governor's Office of Economic Development say Utah is looking to expand exports in the areas of energy, agriculture, services, software, and IT. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Early voting starts today with more than a dozen locations available in Salt Lake County alone. KUER's Brianna Zender has more.
Registered voters can expect some important information to show up in their mailboxes in the next couple of days. The voter registration card includes logistical information about the precinct, county, and district the resident belongs to. The assigned polling location for each voter on election day comes in a separate letter, along with more information on early voting locations and hours. Sherry Swenson is the Salt Lake County Clerk.
People who register to vote can vote at any one of the 20 locations throughout the county or here in the county clerk's office. And that runs from October 23rd through November 2nd.
Residents can also make adjustments to their address without re-registering, preview a sample ballot, and find more information about the upcoming election at vote.utah.gov. Brianna Zender, KUER News.
Native American groups are among those who say new voter ID laws in a dozen states put minority voters at a disadvantage. In two states, Alaska and Florida, tribal ID cards are not accepted at the polls. In other cases, home addresses are required, and some tribal communities don't have regular street addresses. The National Congress of American Indians has been working on voter registration and education efforts across the country. In 2008, there were more than 1 million Native American voters registered. Salt Lake City residents will now find it easier to recycle their glass waste thanks to a new curbside glass recycling program that begins next month. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
First only serve residents who live between State Street and 2100 East. Bins will be delivered in the next couple of weeks before the first scheduled collection on November 1st. Next spring, it will expand to anyone who lives in Salt Lake City. Debbie Lyons is the recycling program manager for Salt Lake City. She says the 20 glass drop-off sites throughout the city will still be available in addition to the new curbside program.
And we hope to double the amount of glass that we are recycling through that program.
Salt Lake City's curbside recycling program currently accepts clean paper, plastic, aluminum, and tin. Mayor Ralph Becker says the city is using the savings realized from that program to start recycling glass.
We're putting our resources from the landfill to help support extending the life of the landfill, which saves us all costs in the long run, and obviously save costs and improve the environment for residents.
Anyone interested can sign up with their water bill account number for an additional $6 per month. More information about Salt Lake City's glass curbside recycling program can be found on our website, KUER.org. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
A federal appeals court in California has ruled that two federal agencies have violated the Endangered Species Act in granting permission for a 700-mile natural gas pipeline from Oregon to Wyoming. The Ruby Pipeline also passes through Nevada and Utah. A three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Bureau of Land Management haven't done enough to ascertain the potential harm of the pipeline to the Lahontan cutthroat trout and other rare fish. The court also agreed with environmentalists who argued the agencies illegally relied on mitigation measures that have not been funded. The Utah Labor Commission says it's had thousands of complaints filed since 2009 from workers who say their employers cheated them out of wages. Many of the companies involved were going out of business, others took advantage of people desperate for work, or targeted undocumented immigrants. The number of young Mormons applying for missionary service has risen to more than 4,000 in recent weeks, according to numbers released yesterday by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. A statement from church spokesperson Scott Trotter says 700 applications came in during a typical week before the church announced a policy change that allows men to serve at age 18 and women at age 19. About half of those new applications are from women. The church also said it will increase the capacity of its missionary training centers, although it's backed away from plans to build a 9-story building at its flagship MTC in Provo. And finally, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and the orchestra at Temple Square are planning a tour through the Midwest this summer. The 360-voice choir and 65-member orchestra plan stops in Columbus, Indianapolis, Chicago, Milwaukee, Madison, and Minneapolis. Tour dates run from June 12th through June 20th. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, October 23rd. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.